in mind, ladies and gentlemen, that the book of Revelation is not written to you. It is written to seven little ecclesias, little churches in Asia Minor that will exist during the so-called end times, the day of tribulation. And this brings us to an important point, namely the formation, the miraculous formation, as it's called, of the nation Israel. Now, I'm going to contend to you that because Christians get all excited about the Israel becoming an official nation again after 1,800 years, in 1948, David Ben-Gurion declaimed whatever, that the nation of Israel was once again instituted, and people went, hip, hip, hooray, and they threw confetti and spoke in exotic languages, and now the nation of Israel was reborn. And this is supposed to be a fulfillment of prophecy which we're going to look at today. I say it's a farce and it's a fake, because the prophecy concerns the formation of the actual nation of Israel in the kingdom. We know that Satan is an imitator, and that the nation Israel being formed officially, I believe, that was celebrated by humanity and by Christians everywhere, is actually a false fulfillment of the prophecy, a supposed fulfillment of the prophecy, and it is actually Christ gathering the tares to be burned. You remember one of the parables of the kingdom in Matthew 13, that in the end he's going to gather the tares. Let the tares and the wheat grow together until the end. Then we're going to send messengers or angels out to harvest. And in the harvest, then the tares, that is the weeds, will be separated from the wheat. I think that in Israel now, you're seeing, this is going to sound really bad, a big pile of weeds. It's not the true Israel. They don't even recognize their Messiah. The book of Revelation is not written to people in Israel now. It's written to a ragtag, fugitive band of people huddled together in small ecclesias in Asia Minor. Now, that's the truth. Whenever you find a small group of people huddled together with their scriptures open, trying to figure out what's happening, being talked to by Jesus Christ himself, that's where the truth is. The truth is, Saul of Tarsus, the Pharisee going to Damascus, being apprehended by Jesus Christ, one guy on a lonely road, hears a voice, nobody else hears it. That's the truth. The truth is not back in Jerusalem, where 800 people are in a holy convocation at the temple of God that, by the way, was abandoned when the temple veil was rent at the death of Jesus Christ. So this entire fabricated Israel's back in the land thing, although entertaining and we should learn about it, it's not the prophesied return, unless you want to say that it's the false that will precede the true. You ever heard of a guy named T.E. Lawrence? This is Thomas Edward Lawrence, the famous Lawrence of Arabia. I'm going to give you a brief history of the formation of modern-day Israel. Not that I'm an expert in it. I'm not, because you can get into such detail on this, just in the Ottoman Empire alone, that it will just consume you and you'll forget what forest you're in. You'll be so concentrating on the trees, you'll forget what continent you're on. So anyway, back in 1916, there was this crazy war called the Sinai-Palestine Campaign. And this guy, T.E. Lawrence, Lawrence of Arabia, they made a famous movie about this guy. He was what you would call a liaison. That's a fancy word. I like to call it a schmoozer. He was kind of like Ben Franklin was in the American Revolution. He went to France to schmooze. He had smokes, you know, with the leaders. He, you know, went to bed with all the ladies. He schmoozed, he drank, and he cajoled the French people to join the Americans in the American Revolution. Well, T.E. Lawrence was acted in a similar role. He wanted the Arabs to help him fight the Turks of the Ottoman Empire. Now, you just look up Ottoman Empire, and I'm telling you, I think people study the Ottoman Empire for a living, all right? I'm not going to do that, so I'm not going to give you any crushing details. I'm just going to give you the overall picture. Certain land was promised to the Arabs by Lawrence of Arabia, and somehow, being a schmoozer and a liaison, he had the power at least to convince the Arabs that if they joined him against the Turks of the Ottoman Empire, again, the years here between like 1916, 1917, then the Arabs would be given vast swaths of land. So the Arabs were happy about this. This is important because you're going to realize why the Arabs are so upset today and why terror organizations such as ISIS want to go back to the land promised to them by, whether it was a handshake or a written agreement by this Thomas Edward Lawrence, I don't know. But approximately two years after Lawrence of Arabia promised this land to the Arabs for helping him fight the Turks of the Ottoman Empire, there came along these two guys named Sykes and Pico. François Georges Sykes, a French diplomat, and Mark Sykes, a Brit. He's a Brit. These two guys got together and they drew up a division of what we know as Palestine. And they totally ignored any promises made to the Arabs before. And now they say, well, we're going to give the Arabs this much land. I mean, how, it's almost like whoever's in control of the land, the British in this case, they can do whatever they damn well please, and they don't care about any agreements or any promises. Kind of reminds me of the American Indians, you know. Hey, you teach us to make popcorn on Thanksgiving Day, and we'll give you a bunch of land. Later, well, we're going to give you this little, you know, 3-mile by 3-mile reservation in South Dakota, right? So this is a story, a tragedy, really, of promises and broken promises, and everybody does it. Everybody does it. We all get after Hitler. He broke the agreement, whatever it was called. I told you the other day, remember, I talked about all the nations that signed on to the League of Nations Pact. We're going to obey all the rules, and we're going to help the world fight war, and we're going to be at peace forever. And then all of a sudden, you just decide not to do it. Well, yeah, we agreed, but we just bailed out of it, so we're not going to do it anymore. So we don't care what we don't care what he promised you before. We're going to screw you now. Okay, so prepare for that, and now we have this Sykes-Pico agreement, which we don't confer with you. We don't ask you, the Arabs, if this is okay. We don't ask Israel if this is okay. What do you say we give you this little piece of land, and what do you say we give you this little piece of land? So the Arabs are incensed because much of the land they were promised was taken away. Now, along comes, 1917, and the Balfour Declaration, which stated that Israel should be given a particular parcel of land, and it was named after a famous man, Arthur James Balfour. He was the first Earl of Balfour, by the way. If I was the first Earl of Balfour, I would make declarations as well. And he declared that Israel would one day have their own land, and I'm going to go to that declaration now. This is dated November the 2nd, 1917. His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object, it being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine or the rights and political status enjoyed by the Jews in any other country. This was finally brought to fruition in 1948. And this is the thing everybody's all happy about, that finally the powers that be decided that because the Jews were so persecuted in World War II, we're finally going to get around to establishing this Jewish state. And it happened in 1914, after 1,878 years of not being a nation. Now, again, many Christians think that this was a fulfillment of prophecy. God's promise to the Jewish people in Jeremiah 33, verse 7. Listen to this. Jeremiah speaking, I will bring Judah and Israel back from captivity and will rebuild them as they were before. This is not the present state of Israel we see today. This is going to be, I believe, when the kingdom is inaugurated. Now, 1948, in the UN decision, back to the UN now, the United Nations, which came out of the League of Nations, this world body that's going to set itself up as the arbiter in all national disputes without conferring with the parties involved, they're going to make these statements willy-nilly and say what they're going to do. And again, a lot of the motivation here was the Holocaust. Israel was so maligned that we're going to take care of them now, and we're going to give them their little tiny piece of land. And nobody's happy about it because none of them were asked what they wanted. So Ben-Gurion, David Ben-Gurion, the prime minister of Israel at the time, announced the birth of the Jewish state with, quote, these stirring words. In Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, arose the Jewish people, in which was formed its spiritual, religious, and national image, in which it lived official sovereign life, in which it created national and universal cultural treasures, and bequeathed to the world entire the eternal book of books. This is all BS, by the way, but just so you know. The Holocaust, which befell the tribe of Israel in recent times, in which were led to slaughter millions of Jews in Europe, proved anew, succinctly, the necessity of a solution to the problem of the Jewish people lacking homeland and independence through the renewal of the Jewish state in the land of Israel, which will open wide the gates of the homeland to every Jew and will grant the Jewish people the stature of a nation of equal standing within the family of nations. We hereby declare the establishment of the Jewish state in the land of Israel. She is the state of Israel. You know, official applause and everything. And the motives were great. I'm not mocking people who want to make up for a people being so persecuted and tortured and tormented for so many years. But unfortunately, and this is the bleeding, this is the heartbreak of Israel, in that the humiliation is not yet finished. The humiliation is still in progress. Because even though Israel as a nation rejected her Messiah once, and really a second time on the day of Pentecost when Peter declared forcefully that the days of renewing were near, Israel is going to once again, the last time, they're going to gather against, they're going to accept an Antichrist. They won't accept their Messiah, but they'll accept an anti-Messiah. And they're going to do it in their false little kingdom, their false state that man has given them. That the Sykes-Picot Agreement said, we're going to let you have this. That the Balfour Declaration made official, and that David Ben-Gurion spoke into existence. Big whoop. It's the building of the false. It's the building of the false structure that's going to be smashed. It's the gathering of the tares to be burned. And the prophecy that God will bring Israel into her own land will happen when Jesus Christ returns to this earth and King David and the disciples and all these famous people are going to again be walking around in the kingdom. That is when the rebirth of Israel is going to take place.